It's time for What's Up with Opposition Deputy Leader Paula Bennett.
Morena, Paula, thank you so much for speaking to us so early in the morning today.
Good morning.
It's nice to have you back on the show. It's been about a month now, I think, since we last spoke to you.
I know I missed the last one or two, and I missed it. I missed you.
Thank you. Hey, we've got some big booty topics to jump into at 12 minutes past 7 on a Wednesday morning. Let's start by talking about child poverty. The Child Poverty Action Group has been very critical of the government this week for not doing enough for kids in poverty, especially not actioning enough of the welfare group expectations and recommendations that have been put forward. Now, back when you were also Social Development Minister, your government also experienced quite a lot of criticism from the Child Poverty Action Group. Is there something that you would like to do now? If you were back in government, what would you be changing?
Oh, it's the number of people that are going on to welfare. So we've got 4,000 more children in welfare homes in the last couple of years under this government. And so we just know that life on welfare is hard. I mean, we raised and increased benefit levels as have this government. But at the end of the day, you're never really going to get ahead while you're living on a benefit. So putting more and more people on it leads them to a life of struggle and real hardship, and we know that. So,
but what would be the alternative, though? How do you help people out of poverty if, you know, they have difficult working situations, things like that? How can you do it without giving them a leg up?
Oh, you can, though. I mean, it's quite exciting when you get alongside people, and social investment was a big part of that, where you're working literally one-on-one with people. You're seeing what their strengths are. My goodness, I think anyone that can live on a benefit should be just about leading an accountancy, because, you know, how they juggle money and what they do and how they budget is pretty incredible. And I don't think we look at people's strengths enough. I don't think we're pumping enough in at the beginning, where we certainly help them with things like job searches and CV and interview training and the job experience that they need. I think that we've seen rents increasing by up to sort of $50 and more a week for people. That petrol tax, we wouldn't have put that on. That is a huge increase.
And something the like the rents, real, though, Paula, real. That's been steadily going up for a long, long time in New Zealand. That's not necessarily a new thing, is it?
But the changes that we've seen in recent times have meant much more costs on landlords, and they've done exactly what we thought they would do, which is pass them on to tenants when they can least afford them. People getting out of rental properties, so you've got a shortage, and that means, of course, that the cost goes up because you've got a demand and supply problem. So, you know, it might be well-intentioned, but actually what they're doing is we're seeing fewer rental properties in the market, people preferring to leave them empty instead of put people in, and as a consequence of that, that's because of the changes that governments have made.
Do you think then that maybe we need something more like renters' rights or some more legislation around that that's sort of, I guess, prevents landlords from doing that rather than necessarily, I see, putting it on people who are perhaps struggling to be picking up the pieces there?
Yeah, I mean, they talk about that, and of course there's models of it overseas, but the difference that you've got is that in London and other sort of cities like that, is that you've got landlords with thousands of properties. Here in New Zealand, it's mainly mum and dads with the extra property that they rent out. And so they kind of look at the cost benefit of then trying to do that and just think it's all too hard. It's not kind of what I'm experienced at. So we just haven't got the same rental market in New Zealand. And we need to acknowledge that. We need to, I mean, most landlords just want to do right by their tenants and you know, have the property at the best quality they can and look after them. But what they're seeing is just costs piling on that they can't afford, and so they're getting out of the market, and that just puts rents up.
Well, let's talk a little bit now about the sexual violence legislation bill that's passed its first reading with unanimous support this last week. Now, the part of this was supposed to be a new way for survivors to give evidence rather than your standard court proceedings. What are your thoughts on this part of the bill, Paula?
It has to change. You know, I mean, you just simply cannot accept that women in particular are not going to police, and when they do, the chances of a prosecution, I haven't got the numbers in front of me, but it's something like maybe 9 out of 100. You know, so there's numbers as high as 80% not even going to the police. You know, those few that do, their chances of prosecution are less than 10%. And then when they are going through that court process, you would just have to say there's something fundamentally wrong with it when you're looking at that. So that's what these changes are. I'm proud that we did a whole lot of changes when we were in government, but we do support this. And we do also believe in a defence, so we want to get that balance right. Everyone has a right to a fair trial. But, you know, you can't just have a woman being prosecuted and, you know, the changes in this bill are that, you know, it shouldn't be about what she was wearing that night or whether she flirted and batted her eyelashes at someone a bit earlier. And as we know at the moment, too often those are being brought up. This bill will change that, and it's one of the main reasons we supported it.
Let's now talk about another quite hefty topic for early in the morning. It's the Defence Force, and specifically these really tragic deaths in Afghanistan. So the Prime Minister has expressed frustration that the Defence Force has been slow to clear its leftover armaments, especially after it's been revealed that at least six children have been killed in an incident where they were playing. Now, New Zealand deployment to Afghanistan has taken place under both the National Government and Labour governments. Now, does it worry your party that the Defence Force seems to be slow to respond to government leadership on this?
Well, they certainly had the money when we were in government, and certainly as far as we were concerned, they had cleaned up where they'd been. And to their, you know, from what I can gather, they did to the standards that were required then. It's that they haven't then gone back in and perhaps and done the kind of level that they would want, and that's certainly what the Prime Minister's expressing. So we would support that. We certainly think they should be. We had no further information of any of this when we were in government. And, you know, you can only just feel for, you know, those families that are now suffering such a sad tragedy.
Do you think that maybe we need to have, I guess, more public discourse around this kind of thing? Because I guess the Defence Force is separate in many ways to the, I guess, the way that we have a say on sort of democracy in New Zealand. But do you think this, when you get down to an issue like this, it really does become of large public interest. Do you think we need to have some more accountability for the Defence Force on this?
That's an interesting question. I mean, I feel like the Defence Force are incredibly accountable. They're pretty incredible men and women that want to do their best for not just New Zealand, but play their small part in the world as well. And that's why they go into the forces. It's their only intention, and I've met, you know, so many of them over the years, and I just have the highest regard for them. As far as sort of transparency, I think we're seeing more transparency than we ever have over the last sort of 5 to 10 years, and I welcome that. But then they also do a particularly unique job, and I suppose we have to respect that too.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Paula Bennett. We really appreciate it, especially so early in the morning as well. And I'm looking forward to speaking to you again in about a fortnight's time.
Great. Thank you very much, Rachel.
Cheers.
See ya.
That was What's Up with Opposition Deputy Leader Paula Bennett.